Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it's now or never, folks. I don't want to necessarily get dragged into what Trump said and what he didn't say. I will tell you what I said a long, long time ago. When we elected Trump, we elected the first president that was illiterate regarding the Constitution, not understanding the Constitution. And so I know there's a lot of people out there that are trying to defend him or not. I don't care what he says. He has a right of free speech. I don't care. Because when Biden says that, you know, I don't have to amend the Constitution and everybody makes hay on that, and we hear other tyrants disregard the Constitution or say we're going to do whatever we want. Folks, what else do you need to know? We don't have anybody that understands that Constitution in public service right now. We have very few people today in the conservative movement that understand the Constitution. I mean, we have constitutionalists. There's clearly we've got people that listen to this show that understand the Constitution. Or they're on the beginning stages of having a profound understanding of the Constitution. But we're in this situation because of our education system. It's now or never. I mean, come on. The facts. The reason that people are getting so, I'll just say, polarized is because it's stupidity. You know, one thing I learned a long time ago, you know, and I learned this from my father, that ignorance creates such deep biases. Now, you hear the progressives use this kind of vernacular. They kind of speak like this, that, you know, because conservatives aren't smart enough, they're stuck. Well, actually, I think that we have the problem that we're dealing with on ignorance is all driven by, and it is designed by, the progressives. They don't care about the truth. And so it's not necessarily based on education, because education, we can prove, is an indoctrination process. It has nothing to do with the pursuit of truth. Enlightenment and an education system based on enlightenment, which is based on the truth, seeking the truth, and not, you know, creating these biases. Because bottom line, if we threw everything out that just didn't line up, because that's what the progressives did with the Bible, and that's what the progressives did with teaching creation, because things just didn't line up the way we saw them. And when we do that, we absolutely all of a sudden create generations of idiots that don't understand as we've slowly evolved and we obtain a clearer and better picture of how Christianity, creation, and those types of things is far more realistic than this evolution that we were all, we evolved. I mean, I think it was J.M. Roberts that said we evolved out of mice or rodents. Come on. So all this being, you know, this hoopla and everything that's going down regarding Trump, I don't want to say I don't care, but I really don't, because he's got a First Amendment right. Every public servant, as long as he's not using demagoguery in demanding, you know, action on something, if he's just spouting off, and you've heard me say this already, we do need to hold him accountable for causing harm by getting out and championing, like, you know, what Al Gore did. Al Gore should be in prison for trying to, you know, sell this idea that Earth has a fever, that Earth is getting sick, and we need to heal Earth. Seriously. I mean, that guy's a special type of stupid already. But bottom line, if you're a public servant, you need to be very careful with what you say in your official capacity. Now, Trump, in his current capacity, is just a flamboyant personality. And or a, you know, a drama queen, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, As you know, the show is sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. And what we were getting ready to do, because we didn't really have time to start. So what we want to do is we want to actually help you understand what it's going to take to create your organization. Now, you can call your organization anything you want. Anything you want. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is that you design it based on the foundational structure that the Constitution requires and things that line up with the Constitution. Now, the militia, it comes in two forms. There's the organized militia and the unorganized militia. Now, the federal government claims that they have created an organized militia called the National Guard. And they're funding all of that and so forth. And what they've really done is they've basically kind of created a reserve force for their standing army on the military side and their standing air force on the military side. You know, and we don't have reserve forces for the IRS as a standing army, or we don't have reserve forces for the ATF as a standing army, or the FBI as a standing. I mean, the only reserve forces we have is for the military. And to be clear, the military is constitutional, but only the Navy and the Department of the Navy, I should say. The Army, Air Force, Space Force, and anything else out there, the Coast Guard kind of has a unique function, but technically the Coast Guard should be under the U.S. Navy. It shouldn't be a part of the Department of Transportation, because it is all about defense and security. I mean, look at the Constitution. It doesn't start differentiating. Folks, if you want to understand why we have all of these different little departments and these little different, you know, groups and clusters of bureaucracies, is because people want to become their own section head. They want to become their own executive. They want to be a secretary. They want to have generals, and generals want to have five stars. And if you only have the Department of the Navy, that means that there's only going to be one five-star admiral and one four-star general for the commandant of the Marine Corps. Oh, what are we going to do? And then we don't even need to have a joint chief of staff and all these other principal officers, I should say, generals that sit as a part of the joint. I mean, if you look at the military structure, it is just bloated. And as a matter of fact, the best word for it is grossly obese. Our military has basically aggrandized itself, and it has completely lost sight in what it's supposed to do and what its real job is. We've got way too many bureaucracies. And bottom line, all of these things can be cleaned up. They can. It's all about what is delegated right there in that document called the Constitution, or what most of the framers called that an instrument known as a compact, which created a federal government that is not a party to that compact. It is an entity that is derived from it. And that authority and power the authority and power that the federal government derives comes from the states. It cannot use a more superior energy through the framework of that Constitution. It absolutely has to pervert, and it has to get the states to aggrandize it. And so, folks, we've had politicians, and I've said this a lot too, you know, if it makes you feel better, we can start identifying all these politicians at the state level, federal level, and all these people over the course of the history of this great republic, all those who violated their oath and who allowed things to occur that should never have occurred. And we can burn, dig these people up and burn them in effigy, all of them, if that's what makes you feel better. What makes me feel better is we start getting it right and we start moving forward. And I do believe that there needs to be justice doled out for those that are here today. I don't think we can extract justice out of the dead. And I think that's that's more of sending a message of how pissed off we are to the world. But come on, really. What else are we going to do? Are we going to actually waste time? Are we going to just, seek our vengeance out while we watch the rest of this republic just decay into nothing? or even worse, see the world forces come in and completely dominate us while we're seeking vengeance. Oh, we're going to get that orange man in, and he's going to get us, he's going to make people do perp walks. And I'm telling you something, if you believe that people are going to do perp walks with Donald Trump when he didn't do that in the first place, then you're insane. You're doing the exact same thing, but you're expecting completely different results. And you won't get those results because he's not capable of giving you those. At least I'm convinced he's not capable. There's nobody that is talking to him and getting his head right on the Constitution. I'm sorry. Nobody close to him understands that Constitution. There's all sorts of lawyers that understand this newfangled thing called constitutional law, just like we got a bunch of lawyers out there that want to create Verizon law and Sprint law and every other contract under the sun kind of law. But that's only an aggrandized law that actually falls all under contract law. If you're a contract lawyer, then you should be able to walk into any contract and be able to start looking at it and going, okay, I understand how this thing works. I understand the gazintas, the gazautas, and anyway. What we'll do is when we come back, I'm going to be looking at the first page. We started with this. And so we're going to go through this kind of in detail, and I will kind of visualize for those of you driving, for those of you who don't have this in front of you, so that when you actually get back to reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can look at this and go, okay, he talked about that. Okay, I see the cloud. All right. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we look at the county structure, the county militia structure, to be clear, I use the word militia here, but there's no militia. As a matter of fact, I'm doing this in the generic sense because most counties throughout America do not have an active militia. And when I say an active militia, a militia that deploys by the command of the sheriff of the county. And if there's no organized militia for the sheriff to go to, then there you don't have an active militia. You may have guys that have created a militia under some, you know, framework, but it's not truly an active militia because the commander at the county level of the militia is the sheriff. And so as you look at this, you'll actually see on the left side, we have this little cloud, and this organization, which is you, is kind of clumped into this oval shape of roles that kind of point to this is what you have to do in the beginning, seeding this cloud of becoming an unorganized militia. Because we're not here to actually take people out and, you know, I guess you could do that if you want to, if you've got that time. But I'm telling you, folks, we're watching things crumble underneath our feet. We don't have time to get people prepped. I mean, people have to do that on their own time. They have to find that time. But organizationally, we need to get people smart. We need to be able to get people to land punches with petitions. We need to use the weapon that the Constitution empowers us, which is First Amendment petitions. And so we've got this organization on the left side called the Unorganized Militia and the different roles that feed into that. Then on the far right, we have these black boxes. That's our sheriff, county legislators, school boards, all public elected servants within that county. You may have a city. You may have a mayor. You may have, you know, a city council, so forth and so on. If, you know, the larger your government gets, the more you have to vote for people. And this is the same thing as our military, as I was complaining about in the first segment. We have government that keeps growing and growing because, you know, oh, I can't do this job, or, you know, I do this and this is so important. Shouldn't I be my own executive head? Shouldn't I become a department? And people aggrandize it. This is how, and everybody in the public sector is, you know, doing the exact same thing that people try to do in the private sector. Believe me. I worked in an organization, a private, government contracting, global government contracting company. And as, you know, we saw money coming in and responsibilities and work growing within not just the business unit, but within a program and so forth, a sub-function of the program, we saw, you know, all of a sudden, shoot, I myself became not a director, but I became a manager and a supervisor, you know, over a lot of different engineers. And so as those things grow, well, people go, well, you know, we got to make you a section head. We got to make you a department as those things continue to grow. Like, you know, in the 70s, they didn't have IT departments. But IT, they started using IT, 70s, 80s, 90s, and it became formally in the 80s and 90s, IT. But as it started migrating and growing, we became more and more dependent on it. They said, okay, we got to create this IT department. The fact of the matter is that this happens in all walks of life, public, private, whatever, even in families. And so family businesses, what have you. So what we're looking at is, you know, we need to start just being cognizant of this idea that it is the nature of humans to grow their self-importance, to grow their self-value so that they can make more money, have more power. Power, avarice, is the greed and lust for both money, power, what have you. So when we look at our government, you can basically say that our government, because it's been ran and it operates by humans, has been affected by humans by overgrowing. It's time to start trimming everywhere, folks. Can we actually start downsizing? Do we really need a coroner to actually be elected and have that as a public servant? I don't know. These are good questions that we need to start looking at. Do we need government to actually oversee those things? Anyway, I don't want to get into the theories and philosophies of what to do. Bottom line, there's another group of organizations that I have this small little oval. It's called Other Civic Activist Organizations. So you have businesses, but they're not civic activist organizations. What are civic activist organizations? These are your parties. These are, you know, literally grassroots activists, whether they be radical, you know, PETA, whether they be BLM, whether they be, you know, the Tea Party that's not necessarily formally a political party, but just a group of grassroots, a group of local people getting informed and working together to help grow this organization and trying to invoke a change for what they believe is the better. Northwest Grassroots in the Spokane County area, they're a great champion of, you know, the Constitution and so forth. And so that's not the party. That's a grassroots. But these are civic grassroots organizations. And so we have to look at all of the players that are looking at, you know, and working around this thing we want to call the Constitution. Because all of them are either working to support it or working to attack it. There's very few that are just actually just working. Well, actually, I won't say that. There are organizations out there that may not want to actually invoke law or what have you. But nine times out of 10, and I'll give you a good example, is the Jonah Project. That's a Spokane activist organization that's all about getting kids out of the sex trade and the sex trafficking market, arena, what have you. And even the sex trade and the sex trafficking is, believe it or not, it's a dark, it is a secret activist organization, because we see how it's been permeated into government, where government is turning a blind eye towards it. They were almost, and they're close to being legitimizing, getting government. And it's the same thing with homosexual marriage. Remember? Before, it was just, I remember in the 60s, you know, you didn't even see homosexuality that often. I mean, you really had to go into the cities or what have you. Everybody was in the closet because they didn't want to be shamed. You know, they were proud and they were loud, but they were in the closet, so you didn't know. Anyway, as they became more and more emboldened, they, you know, get out there. It's the same thing with NAMBLA. Look, NAMBLA probably existed a century ago when the Fabian Society came on board. Because the chief architects and the leaders that came into America that were part of the Fabian Society, they were pedophiles. They were bestialists. These people had no boundaries. They wanted to promote the full debauchery and debasement of sexual mores in America. And so when we look at grassroots activists, you know, we have these dark secret groups that want to get in so they can start lightening the punishment, start, you know, making, normalizing their debauchery and sin. Because remember, look at government today. I've said this time and time again. We perverted ourselves by allowing our government to become it's almost like the sin remover organization. Government works very hard today in trying to remove the consequences from sin in our society. Why do we spend a tax dollar on curing sexually transmitted diseases? You know, if there's consequences to that and people are going to die from getting a sexually transmitted disease, then those are the consequences. If we let that go, then those people who have those mores will be affected and they will deal with the consequences if government is not working to fix those things. If we just allow nature to take its course. I mean, you know, we have these people on the extreme side of evolutions or evolutionaries or evolutionists, whatever the better word for it is. And thank you for the text, but that's okay. You know, I'm struggling and trying to come up with the right words. But these people that have this paradigm that, you know, like the Darwinites, the Darwinian Awards or the Darwin Awards, whatever. When we look at what they're talking about, I mean, come on. Anybody that goes out and has a sexual or intimate relation with an animal or anything that is just perverse, then there's going to be consequences, right? So in the Darwin Awards theory, those people deserve Darwin Awards, because if they catch some disease that kills them, then that's what they get. That's their feeling of this. And as a matter of fact, having seen how the Darwin Awards is really, you know, because I've gone into some of these groups, social media and so forth, and I know the people that perpetrate these or perpetuate these types of ideas, they're really godless people. And so every time they think that somebody might be a Christian, they love the fact that, oh, well, you know, here's a Christian dying at, you know, at the hands of their stupidity. Well, come on. My whole point here, folks, is that we have grassroots activists that are good groups, and we have very evil grassroots activists. And they've been operating for centuries. And they have come out of the recesses and the dark corners, because we're at a point where we've normalized homosexuality, homosexual marriage, and a lot of other perverse things. This is just getting insane. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody here. I'm not trying to actually make people feel bad. I am trying to speak the truth. And the truth does make people feel bad. So if you're feeling bad, then there's some other problems that you probably need to deal with. But the fact of the matter is, and so GR is going down this path of identifying these activist groups, all of them. We have to look at all other civic, whether they be dark, whether they be hidden. Sometimes they're hidden in plain sight. But we have, as they start to surface, we need to deal directly with them. And as a matter of fact, as you start growing, you have to understand that there are people that want the rights and the individual rights to be protected, that we do not want activist organizations coming in trying to, you know, actually make victims out of our children. So what we have to do is we actually have to understand who's out there. Now, you can go and try to solicit with the Democrats. If you live in a dark red state, you might actually reach some of these people. You might actually get some of these people to come into your organization. Just be mindful, regardless of whether it's a Democrat or whether it's a Republican, just be mindful that they may be an enemy. But we shouldn't have anything to hide, because our demand is that everything must be out in the open, and we need to have full disclosure and full compliance of the Constitution. In other words, when we have a public entity like your public library, and we have the library actually instituting an agenda that is like this drag queen reading hour and that type of crap, then we should be able to go and shut them down, because that's something that does not fall within the framework and the responsibility of a library, that a library is to offer a very specific select type of books. And as a matter of fact, we have a responsibility, my friends, of delineating what should be public and what shouldn't be public. When people started banning, or I should say not banning, when people started taking away these boundaries of pornography and these types of things, they completely ignored the rights, the parental rights of people, as well as the susceptibility of children. They knew this. As a matter of fact, I wrote this in my book. There was an educator in Florida who was a hardcore communist that understood the susceptibility of children, and they put it into this context. They said, we want to make sure that our children, because they're so susceptible, that we don't want our children to be exposed to religious dogma at a young age. Well, hold on here. What the heck are they doing with drag queen reading hour and this, the rest of this pornography and the rest of this crap? Even though it may not be in the form, quote unquote, of religion, it is a very harmful. There's no doubt in my mind, folks, and there's no doubt in your mind. I think we all agree that children do not have the maturity to be able to start making decisions for themselves in regards to those types of things. We have to safeguard our children. And when we allow our children to become victims, we have basically pushed our society off the edge. This is why we're sideways, and this is why we're falling. And so we have a responsibility to actually step in and make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect children from this type of filth and harm. There's nothing good about exposing anybody to addictive behavior. Well, why don't we give children heroin too? We shouldn't be giving children or anybody exposure to porn, gambling, violent games, and those types of things. If they're proven to become addictive, then we should actually have constraints on them. In other words, the parent needs to be able to monitor and account for. You know, you can always tell when we come to this point in society where we have a known behavior, because a scientific law is that results take time to measure. So when these video games came out, we didn't know how addictive they would be. But over time, we have basically been able to analyze and come into this conclusion that allowing children to be able to constantly play video games, it can be very addictive to a point to where it's destructive to them. It doesn't allow them to develop in other ways. So we should make parents fully aware and educating parents to say, you have to control this. You have to make sure that your children aren't being overexposed to specific things. I remember when I was a kid, I loved riding a bike when I was at a certain age. I was always wanting to be on my bike. It didn't matter if it was raining. It didn't matter at all. I lived in Washington State where it rained all the time, and I was out riding my bike. I mean, even when I was in my teenage years, I actually took my bike on, you know, just long trips on the road. That was a part of scouting, too. I mean, if you're a kid and you want to live life and you live in Washington State and you want to have an active life, you're going to get wet because it's just the nature of where we live. And so either you let your surroundings, you know, constrain you, or you live life on your terms. And so I was always out riding I was always wanting to ride. It didn't matter what the weather was like. Even snow, it was kind of intriguing, riding the bike out in the snow. It was non-tenable, and I tried to go uphill and so forth. But anyway, my point is that if you gave a child the latitude to do whatever they wanted, then they wouldn't do the things they needed to properly develop. They wouldn't get their education. They wouldn't get their social exposure, their teaming environment, their ability to deal with conflict resolution. There's all sorts of things that children need to be exposed to, and parents need to be educated on these things. The problem is, as we've grown, we're not helping the parents understand. So should there be a school or, you know, a lesson or an educational process? Because who is at fault if we are, if we're obtaining this empirical data and we're holding it back, and basically we're allowing children to run to the flames of pornography, run to the flames of, you know, of this, you know, violent video games and so forth, then, you know, we've got blood on our hands. We need to do more. So I'm emphasizing this whole other civics activist organizations. We need to start holding them into the framework of the Constitution. Do you want to have your county actually have a parent, kind of like not a PTA, but a parent association, or a way of providing the important information so parents can become better parents? Then that's something that we need to figure out how to do that. Do we do that as a government? I wouldn't recommend it. Maybe we should do that as churches. Maybe we could actually get all the churches to work together, because that's another activist organization. And actually coming to, you know, what we would call natural law or common agreement that these things, you know, because the empirical data proves that if you allow your children to play these games over a certain amount of time, it becomes very destructive. So you want to actually make sure that they're well under that time. And if you can do it, you know, don't get them exposed to video games. Don't get them exposed to any of this stuff. And as a matter of fact, certain things you don't expose them to, like do not expose your kids to heroin. Sadly, folks, you know, when you look at a product and you see the government warnings on the side of a product, why is it there? Because some lawyers come along and proved that warning needed to be there because people are too stupid to just, you know, make their better decisions for themselves. So at least the warning is there so that everybody knows, hey, this could be very harmful to you, like cigarettes, alcohol, what have you. Now, unfortunately, they don't put warnings on alcohol. Maybe they should. Maybe if we started allowing and creating some things, and this is sad, but we shouldn't have government doing this. I honestly think that the churches need to take more of an active role in restoring the mores and and removing moral turpitude from our society. But anyway, these are all the different organizations, and when I talk about these civic activist organizations, we want you to actually go to the Republican Party. We want you to go to the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, the Independent American Party, any party that is conservative or has an appreciation for the Constitution that you're aware of, that there are people there that you believe you can reach that would actually love to understand how to hold public servants accountable. And so those are the places you go, and the public servants, they're in black on this one page. Again, these black boxes are people who are elected. They are your servants. They aren't special grassroots leaders. They're not special at all. They're people who have decided to surrender their own life and what they're doing and decided to serve you. So then we'll get into these roles that will seed this unorganized militia when we come back. So please stay tuned, And we're going to get back into this unorganized militia structure right after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so now we've got a good picture of what's on this first page. We kind of understand who the public servants are. Those are your targets, right? I could have actually made the little target symbols, sheriff, county legislators, and so forth. But some people would say, well, that means that are they bad? No. And just because they're black with white lettering, that doesn't make any connotations either. The fact of the matter is we just wanted to create some type of recognition that these are the people that you have to hold accountable. They are there working for you. They are your employees. So when we look at the different things that you will have to do to create the movement in your county, first off, all you have to do is just, if you're an introvert, you have to get over your shyness of public speaking. You'll have to get over your shyness of just being able to have a, I don't want to say an aggressive, but an informative conversation to where you can help get people. And it's going to be frustrating to get started, but you can always get kickstarted by going to organizations. I mean, you can go door to door. You can talk to your friends. You already know and you already align with people that think very similar to you because those are our friends. Getting those people to become active and involved may be easy. Your friends, you know, may already be active. And so you're maybe already a part of a group, whether that be the party or what have you. But what you want to do is you want to actually go and start presenting this concept of using First Amendment petitions to hold these people accountable. We already have petitions on our petitions page and more are coming. I'm kind of busy, so I haven't been able to write some, but I've been able to help people write some. And so it's just a matter of time. I want to create this repository on these generic, and as we create more and more, I actually want to have this long list of different types of petitions that you can go read and you can go, you know what, this is so close to what we want to do. I'm going to take that and we're going to make our changes. And what we want to do is by doing this is empower you. We want to have petitions that go after your school board. We want to have petitions that go after your library. We want to have petitions. So if those things are your problems, you've got to let us know. Start working with us. You start creating the petition. We will help you. It is in all of our interest to work together in getting petitions done and holding all government accountable. All government accountable, regard whether it be health for our health freedom, whether it be to protect our children, doesn't matter. We all need to work together. I'm not here trying to say, follow me, we're going to just protect, we're going to save unborn children. The problem that we have is of such magnitude that is beyond just one small problem. It is no longer myopic, or actually, the true problem is myopic because the problem exists because government is operating outside its delegated authority. In other words, it is failing to comply to the constitutions. And so even our constitution at the state level, when I read state constitutions, they actually violate. I was reading South Dakota's constitution, and they allow the government to actually create corporations. Now, hold on here. Government is to be Republican in form. How is it that we have states that are set up as corporations? That's not Republican in form. And when we start realizing what they've been doing and how they've been doing everything, they have deliberately ignored and or violated one part or another of the Constitution. And so this is how we hold them accountable. We have to prove to them that there was nowhere in the Constitution that allowed, like Article 4, Section 4 states, that all states in the Union shall be Republican in form or shall have a Republican in form government. Period. It doesn't mean they can have a corporate form of government. There's no exceptions. Oh, Republican or corporate. No. Or Republican or party. No. It is clear, only a Republican form of government, not even a democracy. You can have democracy within your Republican form of government, but it is to be a Republican form of government. So the roles, let me get into these roles. One of the things you have to do is you have to do communications. You have to be able to communicate. You have to make sure that people are talking, introducing people, getting people together, become a networker, helping network people of like minds to start coming together. You need to kind of be thinking of public relations, you know, and how we can actually use, you know, PR or, you know, what we're doing as a form of public relations to help actually put context to these malfeasant, these violators of our Constitution, these public servants who have no business being in office. Now, we need to think of being a recruiter. So you actually have to go out. So recruiter, salesperson, what have you. There's these mixed matches of roles, but bottom line, you have to have this role of recruiting. You have to bring people in. Here's an interesting thing. You start going out and you get people to sign petitions. Every person you talk to, you need to train, you need to recruit, and you need to get involved or coming to an event or getting involved in the organization. And if you're doing that, then actually you're going to start growing. Because every time you talk to somebody and you basically bring them to this knowledge, hey, we're going to have an event. Oh, I want to be there. Give people the information. You know, it's so funny that people have been doing polls and surveys and getting petitions signed when you go into the mall or you go somewhere and that's all. You just sign it. Okay, leave me alone now. I've signed and walk away. But when you're actually providing something and people are actually very interested in getting rid of Biden, people are very interested because we can still get rid of Biden. We will start off this 2023 with how we can get rid of Biden by using the 12th Amendment. Congress only needs to do what they're supposed to do. Anyway, but the problem is we may not get the Senate to go along with this because the Senate has way too many corrupted individuals in there. And I can tell you that the senators for Missouri could have easily had a strong, we could have easily had a strong constitutionalist, somebody that was actually be bringing this stuff up in the Senate and just making political hay out of this. I would have loved to have seen Paul Venable in the U.S. Senate doing this. And so, anyway, these are your primary roles that you will have to do. And as you do these things, as you recruit people, if you actually are effectively recruiting while you're communicating and doing your public relations and training, getting people to come to these events, then you're going to find people that are going to be capable of doing petitions. You're going to find people that are capable of training, being capable of going to events or actually, you know, doing signings and these types of things. Operations. People would be happy. I mean, when you walk into a party meeting, you're going in on a Saturday morning to a Republican Party, Libertarian Party Friday night at a bar. Well, I mean, you can tell the focus of each of the parties, but go check it out and sit down with these folks. And you're going to find people that have committed themselves this amount of time away from their family. You know, at a bar, I get the Libertarians is more of a party for them. But at the Constitution Party, it may be at a church. It may be on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday evening at the church. Anyway, the point is when you walk in there, you can, one, kind of see what their focus is. And two, you're standing in front of a body of people who have dedicated a good percentage of their time in their life to being good or doing something good for their community that they truly believe in what they're doing. So why wouldn't you go there? You're getting these people to just say, you know what, you're already spending time to do this. Wouldn't it be, you know, equally or more beneficial to help bring more people in by using these petitions? And as we start looking at the petitions, you will realize that these petitions, like stopping the invasion, you know, stopping, you know, corporations and businesses from denying you your rights. If you look at the petition, the fourth petition on our petitions page, that could easily be modified into stopping businesses from compelling you to do something that they have no constitutional authority to do, like getting a jab. It's not about freedom. It's about, do they have the ability to compel anybody? Absolutely not. Especially to do something that's against their conscience. The taking away your conscientious objection because you're an employee, you can't do that. Now, you can do that for maintaining your brand and those types of things with very specific things. But, you know, when they start firing people because you're Republican or because you have this ideology, then businesses have gone way too far. And there are, and we've actually been creating since the 60s or even longer than that, since the 1800s, they've been creating businesses and organizations like the Ku Klux Klan and racist organizations. There should be no room in any state for an organization to basically create any type of preference or membership towards one specific thing, whether it be gender, race, or what have you, right? Men's clubs, women's clubs. Come on. But we also have a right to association as long as it's not public and it's private. Anyway, I digress. When we come back, we'll be getting into the operations and more details on these unorganized militias. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.